Hello everyone, Spencer here. We're doing our second in the series of The Story. We called it The Story because the Bible is one big story pointing us all to Jesus, who is going to save and bring us home. It is the story, but also it is our story. All of us are storytelling creatures. We tell stories to make sense of our lives. And the Bible is the story that makes the most sense of our lives as humans. Last time, we looked at the creation and fall, the very beginning of that Bible story in Genesis 1 to 3. We saw creation, that before everything there was God. He is the creator of all, that he created a people, Adam and Eve, that would be with him in good relationship. He created a place of blessing and of kindness in the Garden of Eden. And all of that was where Adam and Eve were under the rule of God's word. Unfortunately, sadly, we see that Adam and Eve, they turn from God's rule. They are no longer a people at peace with God and with one another. They are no longer in the place that God had given them of blessing. They now live under a curse. Everything is hard. Work is hard. Relationships are hard and difficult. They're not the way they should be. And we saw that that makes sense of us. We are this mixture of what is good and beautiful and yet broken and under judgment. We feel that. And we finish there at the end of the fall, and that seems to give us no sense of hope. Is that the way things are going to be forever? Frustrated, broken, under judgment. But just at the very end of the last session, at the end of Genesis 3, we see that there is a promise that from Eve, from Eve's line, God is going to raise up someone who will crush the serpent. There is a hope of victory, a hope that will overcome all evil. And as we read the rest of the Bible, we're searching constantly for who is this descendant that is going to crush the serpent. And today we get a little bit more information of where this person is going to come from. We're going to look at Abraham. So we're going to see the solution promised today. We're going to look at Abraham from Genesis 3. Genesis 12. Let me read just a few lines from Genesis 12 where we see the promise of the solution. So Genesis 12 from verse 1. The Lord said to Abram. That was Abraham's name before God changed it. So the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. And then just a few lines later, so Abraham does go to that land. Verse 7, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So you see, God comes to Abraham and gives him a promise. This promise is a promise of a people. Verse 2, you see, I will make you into a great nation. This promise again of a people that are in good relationship with one another. They are God's people, they're in relationship with him. There's a promise of a place. I will give you this land. And notice this land is speaks of blessing. There will be blessing, and this blessing will in fact pour out of them to end up blessing all the peoples on the earth. What is this? This is a great reverse of what happened when they left the Garden of Eden. This reverse, that is no longer people under a curse, but a promise that they will be a people under blessing instead. And God's rule? Well, this is a word. God rules through his word. And this word, this promise, you see that Abraham, he lives under this promise. He acts according to the promise. So through this promise here in Genesis 3, you see there will be a recapturing of what was meant to be in the Garden of Eden. And now we look forward, Abraham looks forward to when that promise will be fulfilled. And as we see, Abraham, he lives according to this promise. He picks up his life and he moves it somewhere completely different. Based on what? Based on a promise. based on a future hope, a future vision. And I want to pause there because I think that's really important for us as we think about our story. We as creatures, as humans, we're always living somewhat in the future. We nearly always live according to some sort of promised hope. Just think of a couple of examples that might help us see this. I think this is true. Think of somebody going off to university. Why do they go to university? Well, I reckon there's a couple of reasons. Number one is they go because of the promise that they will be more prepared, more qualified for the working world. They will be educated, more rounded as a human maybe, and that's the promise that the university gives. They go because of the future that they hope it will give them. Or maybe a bit more cynical about students going off to university, they go because they want to have fun and they want new experiences. So they go what on the promise that there they will have fun and have experiences. Or think of political parties. So many people base their lives around a political party or political ideology, and any political party is based on promises. They state, if we get into power and we can do all we can, we will do this. And that's based on a hope of a future view of the world. And people change their lives based on that. They campaign, they vote differently. But like anything, we need to interrogate these promises that we base our lives on. There's two questions we need to ask of them. First, is can you trust the person or the thing that is offering you this promise? And second, is the promise good enough? Will it truly fulfill? So, I mean, the university, can you trust it? If you've got a university that you know has a track record of never actually qualifying people for their work, not really preparing them for the workplace, well don't go to that university. Or the political party, if they constantly don't fulfill the promises they made, well, don't trust them. We've got to investigate the promises, the things we base our lives on, see if they're trustworthy. And second, are the promises big enough? Can even a good qualification from university prepare you for the workplace? Well, maybe, yeah, maybe they often can, but is it big enough? Is that going to fulfill your life? Is that going to be the thing that you should really base your life upon? These smaller promises are fine, but if there's a bigger promise, if there's a promise that is over and above everything, that's the thing we want to pursue. And that's what the Bible tells us. The rest of the Bible is the story of this promise being fulfilled. The rest of the Bible, we see that God does fulfill this promise. We can trust him. And we see that it's a very big promise that will completely fulfill and answer all the problems that we have. And I think we see this just immediately after. To Abraham, can we trust that God is going to fulfill this promise? Well, Abraham's an old man. He's been promised this great nation under him, and yet he's old. He's like around 100. And he's going, well, I haven't had any children yet. But God gives him the gift, the miracle of Isaac. Even this old man and his wife, who's also around 100, they give birth to a child, God's gift. In fact, so ludicrous is this in human effort by themselves that Isaac means laughter. But God is working. And then Isaac has two sons, and God chooses Jacob, the younger one that you wouldn't normally expect this line to fall through. But God works in the ways he chooses to work, but he will fulfill this promise. Jacob has 12 sons, and the story of Joseph, we see that there is evil, and these brothers are awful, terribly behaved to their brother Joseph. Joseph ends up going off to Egypt, and yet there God is working so that through Joseph there is going to be provision during a time of famine. And in fact, Jacob and the brothers end up living in Egypt, where there is provision that is provided for under Joseph. They meant it for evil, and yet God used it for good, for this line, this promise, to be fulfilled. And ultimately, I mean, we'll see next week, we're going to see how this promise is pictured throughout the Old Testament. You kind of get a little hint of it, a little ray of sunshine that gives us a picture of the promise being fulfilled. But ultimately, this promise is fulfilled in Jesus. He is the seed of Abraham. He is the true people of God, the one that truly does live under the rule of God. And he is the one that will ultimately bring blessing in the place that's pointing towards heaven, where Eden is recaptured, where people will be with God, and where we will be under true blessing. I think this is really important. We have got to stop and question ourselves and go, am I basing my entire life on a promise that can't truly fulfill? Because God's story gives us a truly big promise. Are we basing our lives on a promise that we can't trust? Because we can. We see through the Bible story that we can trust God. He is a promise keeper. If you're not a Christian, investigate what you're living your life for. What promises are you living for? And is it possible? It's even worth considering that this might be true. And next time, we'll see those pictures through the Old Testament of real history where we get little glimmers of the promise coming true. I hope that's helpful. Look forward to seeing you again soon.